Hey, everybody, just a quick word before we start this week's episode. We want to remind you guys, all you listeners out there, that we are available on CairoRadio.com and also on the all-new Cairo Radio app for your smartphones and your tablets. You can go to the Android Marketplace or you can go to iTunes and download the Cairo Radio app completely free, and you can stream this show amongst many, many others and stream live radio, mind you, here from Seattle, straight to your little device, your little handheld device. And it's completely free, guys. Completely free. It's awesome. Go do it. Well, hello and welcome, everyone. Welcome to the Air Raid Podcast. This is episode 163 in what is now officially considered a long and drawn-out series. I am your host, Aaron Roden, and this, of course, is the show where we drop bombs of awesome straight into your ear holes. Boom, indeed. Yes, we have got a great show planned for you this week once again. We always got great shows planned for you. Somebody wrote us recently saying you should switch up the intro a little bit. Maybe not say the exact same thing that you say every week, because then you don't know what episode you're listening to. Well, sir, just listen to the episode number, and that'll clue you in, right? Yeah. But, you know, I'm not a pro at this. I'm not a pro. I got to do what I know, and that's... I know what I know. I know what I know, and I do what I do, right? Yeah. So coming to you for the first time ever from Backyard Studios, and it's a little echoey in here. It's a little echoey. We're gonna put some soundproofing up, get this thing done up right, here in the coming weeks. So you know, just bear with us here while we get all the kinks worked out of the new space. Because yeah, I can hear it myself, and I don't like it. I don't like it, folks. But it will be fixed somewhere down the road. And I'm coming. God dang it, getting over having a cold this week. My daughter, of course, the lovely little tiny rodent, 2-year-old tiny rodent, comes home from daycare and just gets everybody sick. Right, puts her hand in your mouth. And that's it. You're done. You can't, God, listen to that echo. It's terrible. Yeah, but you're done. You can't get away from it. The other parents out there, you know what I'm talking about, right? Boy, your kid gets sick. He or she are touching everything with their slimy little fingers. They're putting snot all over their face. And then they tell you that they love you. And you're like, oh, you go in for a hug, and they just stick their hand right in your mouth or in your eye socket, and then you just got it. Like I knew I had it right when it happened, man. I was just like, you know, she gave me a hug and she stuck her finger in my mouth, and I was like, there it is. I'm sick. Might as well just take the next 2 weeks off of my day job because I'm gonna be worthless. And sure enough, it hit me on Friday. And I've spent all weekend right? And doing projects. Fuck, owning a house is insane. I got so much stuff to do. Like I had to take the door to the studio off of, maybe that's another reason why it's so echoey in here, because the door's not there. But yeah, had to, you know, stain a door. Never done that before. Well, I did it in college, I guess. I used to work for a painting company, but never for my own things. So I'm like really taking the time, man. Feeling like a dude too, with all this stuff, with all these little projects. Really feeling like a superman. Right? Yes. Oh man, we've been getting a lot of, I don't have any of them called up right now, but man, we have been getting a lot of emails from you guys. We really just want to say thank you so much for listening to the show. Thank you for your correspondence. Thanks for spreading the word to your friends. And, you know, some of you have fans. Thank you. Thank you so much. We really appreciate it. We've got a lot of great stuff coming down the pipes in the weeks ahead, but we are going to take next week off. We're taking next weekend off. I need a break. We still need to do a bunch of stuff here at the new ancestral home of the rodents. The new, God, why can't I can't just, I just can't spit that out. It's the rodent ancestral home, the new rodent ancestral home, right? It'll be my daughter's ancestral home. It's not mine, but yeah, we still need to do a bunch of work, and you know, the show cuts into that time that we have to get the studio straightened out. So it's gonna, you know, we're just taking a week off, you know, if you miss us, you miss my voice, you can of course go into the archives page at www.air-raid.net, and you can check out all the episodes, all 163 episodes with people like Macklemore, Mudhoney, Presidents of the United States of America, John Roderick, David Bazan, from Pedro the Lion, all sorts of guys, Dana Gould, Pete Holmes, man, Aisha Tyler, she's on the list, Bob Saget, come on, do that, right? Yeah. Tell your friends, tell your fans, if you have fans. Tell everybody, you know? Scrawl our name on the bathroom wall at your work. There you go. For a good time, listen to this. That's what you do. That's what you do. Or you can, of course, you can go over to iTunes and you can subscribe to the show. And we would really, really appreciate you guys rating and reviewing the show because that helps us continue to get great guests. Like Cody Chestnut. Cody Chestnut joining us today on the program. Man, this was really cool. I didn't know too much about Mr. Chestnut's music. But when I heard he was coming to town, I knew that he had done this thing with the Roots a while back, this song called The Seed, which I highly, highly enjoy and highly recommend as well. It's a great song. He sings and plays guitar on that song. I think he co-wrote that as well. And it's just a fabulous song. So when I heard he was coming to Seattle, I was like, man, I would love to talk with that guy. And of course, I lined it up, still not really knowing his back catalog at all. But then going back and listening to all of his stuff, and it's just so good, you guys. Man, if you don't know who Cody Chestnut is, go and check him out, because if you're into, like, I don't know, you know, the 60s soul movement, right? 60s, 70s soul movement. Isaac Hayes, who else would be in there? Al Green, you know, man, it's so good. It's so good. I love that type of music, that 70s soul funk music, for lack of a better term. It is. It's great. And it reaches a spot in you, like a nostalgic spot. It does to me anyway. Because I was always a fan of, like, you know, Shaft and movies like that, you know, the blaxploitation films of the 70s, 60, late 60s and 70s. And you know, just that driving kind of big bass, big band feel to all the music that's going on in there with horn section, and the swooping guitar sounds with the wah pedals, and oh my God, and a little bit of delay in there. Oh yeah, yeah. And then that luscious, just female voice, backing vocalist in the background. You just get the picture of, like, you know, afros and handguns. You know, that's what I'm saying. And that's not, you know, that's not supposed to be racially insensitive or anything like that. I'm just that's kind of what it brings to my mind, because I was a fan of those movies. So anyway, I start listening to this back catalog, right? And I'm getting a lot of that. I'm getting that vibe from Cody Chestnut's new album. It's so, oh man, it's just great. It's just great. And I think you guys are really going to enjoy it. We didn't have too much time to talk with Cody, which was kind of a bummer. But, you know, nonetheless, we got to chat with him, and it was fantastic. I mean, he couldn't have been a nicer dude, right? So I show up to the venue, right? This was a field recorded chat. So you guys will notice that too. It's not the best sound quality, but you know, it's good nonetheless. It's better than what you're hearing right now with all this echoey-ness in this room. Man, this is really bugging me. I apologize, you guys. I should have had this all done before. Man, damn it. Anyway, so I show up to the venue, right? Show up a little bit early. This is what I do. I accidentally, I came from my place of work. I was supposed to meet him there at 5:30. And I figure, okay, well, I can leave at this time. I'll probably get there, you know, it'll be rush hour. I'll probably have to search for a parking lot or parking space for a little bit. And I'll get there and I'll be pretty much just right on time, just skating under the watch, right? Wrong, man. I showed up like 2 hours early. There was no traffic. I found a parking spot right across the street from the venue. It was nothing. So I'm just walking around the streets of the U District, down there near the Neptune Theater, and just deciding what I'm going to do. When I have time on my hands like that, it makes me more nervous to meet people. Does it do that to you too? Do you guys get like that? I get really anxious. When I've got time to think about all this stuff, then it just like, it bores a hole into my brain and I can't stop thinking about it. And then I'm just like working myself up thinking that, he's not going to like me. That's where it goes. That's instantly where it goes. It's gonna think I'm a dickhead or something, you know? But it went great. I got to go into the venue, watch them do their sound check for a little while, which took a little bit longer than normal, but this was their first show on their tour, and a couple of the musicians that they normally play with were unable to come on the tour with them. So they had a couple of different musicians, stand-in musicians, that they had to work out the kinks. And it was impressive. It was super impressive to sit there in that theater and watch these guys work it out, right? That's what always impresses me about professional musicians. Like, this is a job, man. This is a job. Like, this is something that I always did for fun, right? I was in a band for fun. We fucked around on our instruments. We weren't bad, but we weren't great. We weren't amazing. Sometimes I joke and say we were just terrible, but that's not totally true. But we were decent. But man, I mean, doing it for a living, doing it as part of a 2-month tour around the United States and then over to like Australia and Europe. Like, that is something else, right? And watching these guys up on stage, these total professionals. And Cody Chestnut's a band leader, man. And he stood up there and he was like working it out. And he's like, okay, I hear something right here. We're going to play this again. We're going to do that again. And we're going to do it until you get it, right? And he wasn't being he wasn't being mean about it. He was just like, this needs to be perfect. This is the first night of the tour and this needs to be perfect. And it was phenomenal. I wish I had gotten a chance to stay for the whole show. I was unable to, but man, was it awesome. It was awesome to watch. It was so cool to watch. The pros at work doing their thing, man. Doing their thing. All right, let's do this, shall we? Let's go with our first musical break. We're featuring songs by Cody Chestnut. This one's called That's Still Mama. And you are going to dig this song. I swear to you, that's still mama. All right. And we'll be right back with more of the Air Raid Podcast for your ears with special guest today, Cody Chestnut. All right, everybody. Hang with us. Got a backpack full of time and you don't know why. Why you don't even respect the uncles. And the lady that sacrificed the birth, yeah. Hey. No matter how you feel, your blood's on the seal. You can't just treat her anyway. Nonsense is the deal. That's still mama. That's still mama. The lack of recognition show. That's still mama. Church boy, school boy, dope boy. Sagging around with an assault charge on your name. Only reason I make this song because I love you.
Only reason I take the time, cause I don't wanna bury ya. Church boy, school boy, dope boy. I ain't gonna throw my hands up, I'ma love ya. I know times can get hard, but being hard ain't gonna get the way off and rip the scars.
I didn't understand, like, he just had it, he had the house off.
Right, right.
And you guys were just hearing it through the monitors. But they turned it on.
So the presence felt better.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, definitely, definitely. Okay. I think, you know, I've been to a couple shows at this place, too, and, like, once that room fills out, It definitely has a totally different sound to it.
Yeah.
Because you're just getting stuff that's bouncing off of those curved walls and everything.
Yeah. Hopefully we're getting enough people come out. Heard it's kind of slow on sales, but hopefully come down.
Yeah. Well, this is the start of the tour, yeah, right?
It is.
How long is this one for you?
Let's see. We got about maybe 2 months and some change, because we play for about a week and a half, then we make a week and a half off, And then we pick up again. We stop on the 15th, and we come back about a week and a half later. And then we take it all the way until October, I believe.
Oh, really?
Yeah, to Australia, New Zealand, then Asia.
Wow. And is Asia a whole new set of dates, too?
Yes. Then we have 2 or 3 dates in Japan.
Jeez, man.
Yeah.
How is that?
It's fantastic. Looking forward to it.
You like it?
It was my first time in Japan, so.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Right on.
So I'm looking forward to it.
Well, pretty soon you'll be able to say what every musician says, we're big in Japan.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Which would be a good thing.
Yeah. That's never a bad thing. Mm-hmm. That's for sure. So Cody Chestnut, did I say that right? Is it Chestnut or Chestnut?
Chess with an S.
Yeah. Did you get a lot of shit for that when you were a kid?
No, actually, it's my artist name. It's not my birth.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. I was trying to look for it, like, on your Wikipedia or nothing.
Yeah,
you know,
no.
Doesn't say any of that.
It's actually the street that I grew up on, so my whole name is really a throwback or a reference to my childhood.
Cool. Right on.
Yeah.
And where'd you grow up?
In Atlanta, Georgia.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How was it as a kid?
It was fantastic. It was beautiful. Yeah. I tell people all the time, man, it was such a soulful period.
Uh-huh.
You know, lots of love, because I'm, a kid pretty much of the 70s.
Yeah.
So you had that whole, you know, love vibe and the music.
Yeah.
It was a
But wasn't the love, like, back in the 70s, like, the love movement was kind of fizzling, right?
Well, it was fizzling, I guess, as a physical movement that you could see.
Right, yeah.
But the music still had it in there, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You got the great Stevie Wonder records.
Oh, yeah.
You know, What's Going On, all that stuff had a... Donny Hathaway, Roberta Flack, you know, all of that music. Yeah. Makes me think of my childhood and the beauty of it. You know, it felt like the sun was more golden or something. You know what I mean? It was amazing.
Yeah.
But, man, I don't have any horrible childhood stories, man. Yeah. I really had a great
well, this conversation's over, man. I'm going to just press stop right
yeah,
now.
You know, because really, man, because some people are like, oh, I don't want to hear. It's not enough drama, you know?
Right, right, yeah. But, so is that where music started for you as a kid?
Exactly.
Like, just growing up, your parents are playing Stevie Wonder on the,
yep,
on the
whole
record player and all that?
Yeah, all of Motown, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
That was a constant in our house.
Yeah.
Plus everything else, you know, top 40.
Mm-hmm.
Gospel, classical. I have an uncle that plays classical piano, so he would play piano at my grandmother's house, you know, so I grew up around all that. And it just became a part of, you know, the air, man, you know, truly breathe it in. And I can't remember a time not really loving music. You know, mm-hmm. I started out playing drums when I was maybe 6 or 7.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did your parents just buy you a drum set or
yeah,
what?
Yeah, you know, a little kiddie drum set for Christmas,
yeah, yeah.
You know?
Right on, right on. Yeah, that's what I want to do for my daughter. I want her to, because, like,
oh, congratulations.
Chick, yeah, thank you. Yeah. Chick drummers are, like, the coolest, right?
Yeah, man. Especially when they can really play.
Yes.
You
yes.
know, when they're not just going through the motions, but really, you know, you can tell they've invested time in their craft. And I think they get just as much as respect as guys.
Oh, yeah, totally, yeah. Totally. Some of the heaviest hitters I know are women.
Yeah, nowadays. I just saw, not to get too far off the subject, but I saw the documentary of Hole's drummer not too long
oh,
ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's a documentary on Netflix about her.
No kidding.
Yeah.
What's it called?
I can't remember.
Do you know?
I can't remember.
Oh, I'm going to have to look that up.
Yeah.
I didn't even know that existed.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think she still lives around here, too, in Seattle somewhere. So when did you kind of find your voice? Because you started out as a drummer. You probably weren't, like, singing at that
point,
right?
I think I began to really pay attention to what was coming out maybe around 9.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, because that's when Off the Wall hit,
uh-huh.
And that was the biggest record in my life as a kid. You know, every
yeah.
kid has that record, like, that just turned it on for them. For me, it was Off the Wall. And I remember just really trying to sing along with those songs, you know, reading the liner notes. That's when I really, I think, made my personal relationship with music, you know.
Yeah.
I'd always
yeah.
been a fan, but that was, I think, the first personal relationship. And that's when I really began to kind of hear, you know, my voice tonally.
Right, right. Yeah.
Realizing, like, okay, I can kind of do this. I can kind of follow this, you know.
Yeah.
So I would say around 9 is when I really began to hear it.
Yeah. Because yeah. whenever I see a singer such as yourself, like, I always picture, like, that guy started singing in the shower and just got better from there. It's like, you know,
yes,
everybody sings in the shower
yeah,
at
yeah.
some point, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
You're
still
just
do.
Better at it.
Still do, but it was a lot of singing,
yeah.
just like, you know, with friends, you know, in the on the corners or
uh-huh.
hanging out, you know, singing the latest New Edition song or something
right,
like that.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So yeah, for me, I built my confidence, uh-huh. you know, through those little exercises, and right around maybe 21 is when I really began to look at it seriously.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Were you always, like, playing in bands and stuff at that point, too?
Not always, like, not always. It was really just, you know, just singing for fun,
yeah.
you know, singing around friends and,
uh-huh.
you know, doing that thing. But I really began to take a serious look at it when I was around 21 or 22.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, take me down memory lane a little bit. Like, what was playing that first show as a singer like? That's got to be
well,
nerve-wracking, right?
You know what? I skipped over a part. My father used to
yeah.
manage... local doo-wop bands, you know.
Oh, really?
Well, you know, soul, R&B
yeah,
groups
yeah, yeah.
that would cover, they were basically just a cover band, but they did really well. They would travel, you know, everywhere, you know, nationally. And then when I got to be like 13 or 14, everyone, you know, always knew that I liked to sing and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So he began to entertain the idea of me actually opening up for them. So I started doing that for a couple of summers.
Yeah.
When I was like 13 or 14. So that's really when it began to kind of kick off for me.
Yeah, so you were working on your confidence in
exactly.
your early teen years.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And I still...
That's a good spot to start.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely. I still remember my set, too. My set
yeah.
was... They Called Me Mr. Pitiful by Otis Redding.
Okay.
Yeah, my father was like, this is going to kill him. I was like, this guy, because, you know, I'm... kid, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like, trust me, and it did.
Uh-huh.
All Night Long by Lionel Richie.
Uh-huh.
And my big closer was Thriller.
What?
Yeah, man. I would do the whole...
You close with Michael Jackson?
And I would do the whole video, the whole...
What?
Yeah, man, the zombie walk, the whole everything, man. And people loved it, man.
And you killed it.
People loved it, yeah, man. had a lot of fun.
But that's some range, too, though, man.
Yeah, yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
Were you doing it in your own range? Did you dull it down a little bit?
No.
Were you doing it in Jackson's range?
Yeah, because I was young then, like 14,
yeah.
So my voice hadn't really changed yet. So
right.
I could kind of mess around with that register a bit.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah, man. And that lasted for a couple of summers until I got kidnapped by a fraternity and taken to...
Wait a minute.
No, seriously. they kidnapped me, you know, in a loving way.
Okay.
And took me to the hotel room and asked me to teach them how to moonwalk.
What? So, like just a bunch of guys that saw you doing the dance
guys,
and stuff like
drunk,
that? A
bunch of drunk frat cats, man. Tuxedos.
And how old are you?
Like 14.
We're like 14 years old?
Yeah, and they're like, teach us how to moonwalk,
man.
And I can still see the girls jumping up on the bed in their white, like, gowns. It was crazy. And after that, my father...
That sounds like a pretty fond memory.
Oh, no, it was amazing for me, but my father wasn't too happy about it, you know?
Yeah,
so
I guess.
He cut it after that. Yeah.
Oh, that's super cool, man. Was your father, like, a big influence on you then? Like, was he trying to push you into music? Or
well,
or it happened naturally?
He's a retired educator, so education was always first.
Yeah.
So he never really said, okay, well, this is the way you should go, but, he recognized that I had something, you know, to share and work with. And my uncles in the band, you know, everybody kind of, you know, encouraged it as well. So he gave it a shot. He thought it was cute, but he would always speak about, you know, education first.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
And after he took me off the road with that, I probably didn't do anything for maybe 5-6 years, really.
Uh-huh.
And that's why I said later on I got, you know, I think it came back when I was 20, 21. That's when I started looking at it again.
Walking on a path of perdition, I see the smokestacks in my periphery. I've been all the time spewing the residue of the working class's faith in democracy. Church house tilting on that bank note, attracting folk with give me some money, Lord. Yeah. Three-piece snack is riding on a 3-minute song with that horse hat. Selling out for the subwoofers, but bumping, hollering, but I'm hungry for freedom, but I don't know how to eat that day because I'm. For treason, if that will increase my pay, because I'm under the spell of the handout. Under the spell of the handout. Give me my share, please. Hand. 25 years to life, the new degree, new occupation. Senses can't quantify the desperation. All across the dreamy USA, the ball is under the spell. The handout. Give me my share. Oh, Lord, give me my share. I heard the pleas and cries. Give me a voice. Give me my mind back. Give me the floor. Give me some room. No, gotta take it. Take it. I heard the pleas and cries. Make me the choice. Let me in the cast. Give my poor son and daughter a pass. You gotta take it. Gotta take it. Sometimes you gotta ask yourself, what am I feeding on? What am I stepping in? What am I giving up? Giving up now? What am I depending on? What do I represent here? What am I? Now. a lot of your songs, I've been listening to a lot of your stuff leading up to this interview, because to tell you the truth, I wasn't like super up on, you know, Cody Chestnut.
Right, I understand. I understand.
You know, it happens, right?
Absolutely.
Right? At least I'm being honest.
Yeah.
Right?
I appreciate that.
But I enjoy it a lot.
Thank you.
And I really like your latest record. Some of the songs on there are a little bit more politically charged, it sounds like.
Mm.
Was that something that you set out to do? Like something with a social message?
Yeah,
is that an important thing for you?
It was extremely important to me, because I began to realize, especially after, you know, having time to grow as a writer, mm-hmm. and study, you know, all the great artists that came before. And I would ask myself, you know, why do these records still inspire people and motivate people? And it's because they line up with real life.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, in a very genuine and sincere way.
Totally.
So that's what I wanted to do.
Yeah.
And so I just began to really listen to our times and really observe what was going on in the 21st century, you know. And I wanted to document that and, you know, share it.
Yeah.
Yeah, at least share my perspective on it.
Right, yeah. Right. And have you gotten a lot of good feedback on
for sure.
On that stuff?
For sure, for sure. Because I think, especially with our generation, you know, people are becoming more, you know, socially engaged, you know, one form or another.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to contribute, you know, to the discussion or the public discourse, if you will, in song form, because I think really that's the best way to access the debate or the discussion, you know, in song, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, I thought I'd give it a shot on this record.
Yeah, yeah. So what's like, when you're setting out to write a song, with a distinct message to it, like how involved are you getting in that? Like,
well,
you know what I'm trying to say. Like,
say again. I think I do, but clarify.
Like, how involved in like the issue are you getting? Like, I mean, is it just stuff that you're seeing around you, or like when you set out to really construct a song with a message? Like, are you, you know, reading articles and papers and watching the news
exactly.
To try to, like, you know, research a little bit?
That's exactly what's happening. I'm listening to a lot of talk radio,
a lot of
opinions, you know.
Uh-huh.
And I start to really listen to, you know, what are the more consistent things, you know, topics.
Yeah.
And just, you know, try to put them in song form. But in a natural way, you know, and let it happen naturally. Things that I feel are worth investing my time into,
you know.
And if there's definitely anything that I actually write about, then if it's inspiring, then I would more likely involve, you know, my actual personal time,
you know.
But mostly it comes by just real observation,
yeah.
You know, listening to what's going on and trying to, you know, bring it in song form, because a lot of people are not up on certain issues.
Oh yeah.
So
definitely.
I think it's a great way to create awareness.
Yeah, yeah. Do you do a lot of writing on tour too? It sounds like you're, you know, in those situations, you're taking in a lot. I mean, driving around the country is the best way to see everything, right?
And that's how I got a lot of the information, especially Under the Spell of the Handout.
Yeah,
that song was inspired by a lot of my traveling with my father-in-law.
Uh-huh.
He's an accounting instructor, and I would help him drive, because he's up in age now.
Yeah.
I would help him drive to Pine Bluff, Arkansas. And you get a chance to see the real America, you know, when you're driving out there.
Uh-huh.
And on those long drives, I would really just kind of, you know, take it all in and, you know, get certain phrases or lyrics or certain concepts, just from those travels. And those trips were huge for me in terms of just growing as a listener,
uh-huh.
You know, because you get a chance to really see what people are doing every single day in the real world.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. So you seem like a pretty grounded person. Like, are you happy with where you're at musically?
I feel really good about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It feels like the natural transition that I wanted. Yeah. It feels like the natural transition that I wanted, because after the Headphone Masterpiece, you know, I gave up so much of my soul and spirit, you know, in terms of that record.
Yeah.
So I needed to be replenished, you know. I needed more information, more life experience, and so all of that came, and I just wanted to, you know, really be patient with it, and that process allowed me to really be at peace with where I am now.
Yeah.
You know, because I wasn't forced to rush into it to meet some type of, you know, market deadline or label demand. You know,
yeah.
It was really about, okay, I feel good about what I have to say or what I'm sharing or what I'm thinking now. And, yeah. and it felt timely. And it felt like something I could put my soul and spirit into, you know, night after night.
That's fantastic.
And people have responded likewise,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah, excellent. Yeah. Excellent. So good things to come on this tour.
Hopefully.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Cody, for sitting down with me here and then chatting with me for a little bit. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, man. Thank you for
having me. Have a great tour. Yeah.
Thank you.
Definitely.
All right, welcome back. Welcome back, everyone. That was our, excuse me. That was our fantastically short chat with Mr. Cody Chestnut. I hope you guys really enjoyed it. I enjoyed talking with him so much, so much, and I wish we would have had more time. Now, after his tour manager came in, very nice man by the name of Nick, came in, you know, tapped his wrists like it's time to end this. We ended, and then we proceeded to talk for about 15, 20 more minutes about just being dads. And man, dang it, I wish I would have had the recorder on, because he had some great things to say about his family and how his kids inspire him to make music that's socially charged, because he wants to, make it a better place, make it a better world for them to live in and grow up in. And that was it was really heartfelt what he said, and I wish I would have had that on record, man. God, I really need to learn how to do this better, right? Oh man. But I really hope you guys enjoyed it. Thank you so much for listening to the show. I know it's a shorter one this week, but we'll be back in 2 weeks with another great installment of the Air Raid podcast for your ears. Now, you can catch Cody on tour. He's going all around the United States right now, and you can catch him. Let's see, September 10th, the State Room, Salt Lake City, Utah. September 11th, he'll be at Belly Up at Aspen, Colorado. The High Dive on the 12th in Denver, Colorado. Sister the Bar, I don't know, Albuquerque, New Mexico. Midpoint Music Festival in Cincinnati, Ohio on September 26th to September 27th. Blueberry Hall in St. Louis, Missouri. Lincoln Hall in Chicago, Illinois on the 29th. And then October, Gray Eagle in Asheville, North Carolina. And then on and on until you get down into the Melbourne Festival Hub in Australia. So, hey, go to his website. And his website is, are you ready with a pen? Are you ready? Take this down. cchesnut.com. That's cchesnutt.com. And you can get all the dates of his upcoming tour, or his now tour. He's on tour now, people, at the website. So do that, cchestnut.com, and you can also check out some of the awesome music videos that he has there, and awesome music as well. Photos, videos, all that good stuff. Yeah, I would really highly recommend going to see this guy. Just total pro, man. And he sings from the heart, plays music from the heart, man, and his soul, and he bears it all on stage for you. And I got to witness it at the Neptune Theater there for a little bit while they were doing their sound check, which was, like I said, just absolutely amazing. God dang it, man, I wish I would have had that frickin' stuff recorded when we were talking. I mean, that's a constant through line in this show, right? We talk about having kids, and man, that was a good conversation off air. It was a good conversation on air as well, talking about his dad and how he grew up there in Atlanta, and all that good stuff. Man, man, guy's led a very interesting life. And hopefully we can get him back someday and get a full-fledged interview going with this guy, because I would love to pick his brain a little bit more. Wouldn't you? Wouldn't you? Man, yeah. Yeah, that's the ticket. Okay, hey, like I said in the beginning of the show, please go to iTunes, rate and review the show if you like it. If you don't like it, give it 5 stars anyway, right? Yeah, because you want to do something good, and that could do a lot of good for us. We need more ratings there. People look at that. PR people actually look at those ratings and the reviews when they're deciding whether or not they want their artist or comedian or entertainer to come on this show. So it helps out quite a bit, guys. So if you would, do that. Hey, also, you can, you can donate to the show by visiting our website, www.air-raid.net, clicking the donate button there in the top left corner. We could really use the funds right now to finish up this studio, maybe get rid of this echo. Echo, 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 echo. I hate that. I hate it. I hate it so much. And we could really use the money, people. We don't do a lot of advertising on this show, which may be changing here in the sometime in the near future. But yeah, we could really use your help. So press the donate button. It runs on PayPal. And if you already have a PayPal account set up, you can just donate whatever you want. $1, $5, $500. I mean, yeah, that would help out a lot. Boy, talk about talking about helping out your fellow man. That would be one hell of a thing for you to do. If you like this show, then do it. Right now, I'm just trying to waste time just to make the episode longer. Seriously, people. Oh man, I gotta go. Take some NyQuil and just pass out in bed, and let the cold take me away to my dreamscapes, because I'm dying here. I took another shot of DayQuil. I'm feeling a little bit better. But man, I just need to lay down. It's time for my bedtime. It's only 8:16 p.m. in the evening, and it's just wiping me out. Just totally wiping me out. Oh man, yeah. I need a week off. I need a week off, guys, from the show, just to fix stuff. Just to fix stuff in this house. It's so old. It's falling apart. Anyway, let's do this, shall we? Let's go out today with the song. Oh, man. What's this song called? What's this song called? You already heard the first part of it. I've Been Life by Cody Chestnut. Let's see. What's this album on? Gosh darn it. Landing on 100 is the album. And you can get that now. It's, released back in 2012. And it's available everywhere. So visit Cody's website and pick up a copy of this thing, or you can find it on iTunes as well. All right, this is I've Been Life. Thank you once again for listening this week, everybody. I'm sorry we're not gonna have any new content for you next week, but we need a little break, like I said. Okay, I've Been Life. Have a great week, everybody. We love you. Thanks for listening.
The greatest.